All right. Good morning, everybody. The ushers will be passing Bibles. Raise your hand if you need a Bible. Biblias, Bibles. You guys have your Bible app ready as well? We're very happy and very glad that you guys are all here to worship with us on this beautiful Sunday. Do we have any first-time guests? Any first-time guests? No? No guest today? A first-time guest? Okay. All right. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Pastor Pete couldn't make it today. He asked me to fill in, so hopefully, I can deliver just as well as Pastor Pete, which is full of wisdom and with it 49 years of ministry. Just amazing, massive respect for Pastor Pete, and I thank him and Marcy for giving us opportunity to come and teach, you know, before you guys. So let's commit this to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just come. Lord, we are so desperate for you. We need you every single day of our lives to guide us, to direct our steps, Lord. Father God, let your word just speak to all of us, Lord, on what you want us to do, what insights you want to give us, some heart changes, some renewing of our mind. And Lord, just we lift up our families to you, our marriages, protect our kids against any spiritual warfare. And thank you for, again, God, for just sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for us, Father God, that he's shown us so much grace and mercy. And we just commit the rest of the day, and we love you, Lord, and we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 So one of the things that we're going to be talking about today is going back to school. How many parents have enjoyed going back to school? Has it been a little reckless, a little crazy? Yeah? But I'm sure it's been pretty nice that you're like, oh, finally my kids are at school. I can drop them off and you know, do what I got to do, because it's hard, right? In the summer, the kids are there, and sometimes you're not used to having a loud house. I'm more like a quiet guy. I need to have quietness, and my son Pete just has this loud voice. It just projects. But it's one of those things too that you also have to remember that they're gonna be out of the door like just at the blink of an eye, and you have to always remember to cherish those moments when it gets tough, when the kids are screaming and they're fighting, vomiting or whatever, they're getting sick, and it's just like, Lord, just enjoy that sweet time, because they will be in the blink of an eye out of the house. So how many of you guys have how many of you guys loved when you had to go back to school? Anybody here? It was cool people. Yeah, about only 5% of the room. Everyone else did not like school. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, school is tough, right? It's an interesting, but speaking about going to school, I wanted to share a really quick story about going back to school, and if you share a picture there on the screen there. This reminds me of the story of this one teacher named Andy, who loved teaching the younger generation. And one year, Andy, he was going to go teach at this annual youth conference, right? But before he could do that, the elders from the conference, they asked Andy, hey, you know what? You got a little bit of a cough right now. We want you to go do a physical and make sure that you're in good health. So Andy's like, okay, I'm going to go to the doctor. Next slide. So he goes to the doctor. He goes to see Dr. Vo here in El Centro. And Dr. Vo tells Andy, I'm sorry, but you suffer from a terminal illness and have only 10 to live. And Andy's like, what do you mean? Like 10 what? Like months? Weeks? Just give it to me straight, doctor. And Dr. Vo starts the countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, and you can get the rest. And God. But you know what? The story ends with a miracle, guys. Andy made it. Bring the next slide there. He's living his best life with his bride, Sarah. So, go Raiders. Glad you guys liked that one. So going back to school for many of us was pretty sweet. You know, for some of us, we have a lot of great memories, right? Making great friendships. Some of you guys might still have friendships that you have that you made since all the way back to kindergarten. And some of you guys can even remember the amazing school lunch that we had. I just want to bring up a picture there. Do you guys remember that amazing pizza that we had? It was stiff, it was cold, but you didn't care, right? You're just like, oh, I got pizza. Like, you had your little chocolate milk, right? But I think from school, I think high school is probably the hardest, right? You're trying to figure out where you're gonna fit in, what kind of social group you wanna be part of, right? And maybe for some of you guys, you weren't the smartest student, you know, you struggled in school, and I've come to realize that the people who are the hungriest, the people who have that strong desire in life, they're usually the ones who really do big things in life. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this message. As you can see there on the screen, the title of the message is, Are You Hungry to Know Jesus More? Again, the title of the message is, Are You Hungry to Know Jesus More? And since we're all good disciples, that we're disciples as students, make sure you have your little note pad, you know, ready to take notes, because I'll be talking about points. So this is, I really love this because this is all like set up for us. You can put the date right there, title of the message. So again, title of the message is, Are You Hungry for Jesus to know Him More? All right, because Jesus is looking for those who are hungry, who thirst for Him, right? God promises that when we come in with that mindset that we're hungry and thirsty for Him, He's going to respond to us, right? He's going to respond to us passionately. He's going to draw near to us. When we come in, the Bible says that when we abide in Him, meaning when we draw near to Him, He's going to abide in us, right? And today we're going to be looking at some verses today, and we're going to be looking at four truths to having hunger for Jesus. Again, four truths to having a hunger for Jesus. So that you would put it here on the theme section. Four truths to having a hunger for Jesus. Okay. Will you turn your Bibles or in your Bible app? We're going to be looking at the first verse. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 6. It'll be there on the screen as well. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. You guys good? Okay. And it says, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Right? This is a part of Jesus' teaching from the Sermon of the Mount. Jesus was teaching about the Beatitudes, which are a series of different blessings. Where you see that word blessed there, the Greek word for that is makario. It's this profound sense of well-being, this spiritual joy. So it's much more than just happiness, right? It implies this divine approval, this contentment from God's favor versus this worldly happiness that's not going to fill us up, right? True blessedness comes from God's righteousness, from seeking Him, right? Where we see in the verse there, it says it says hunger and thirst for righteousness. All right, what is that? Matthew is using a metaphor language, right? Just as us as human beings, right? We hunger and thirst, right? It's a basic human need for survival, right? The pursuit of righteousness, it's an essential spiritual need, right? God wants us to have this active active desire for him constantly, 24/7, every single day, not just on Sundays, not just on the Wednesday night, no, every single moment of life, he wants to have a relationship with you, right? He wants to have this deep longing. He wants to see, you know, his will be done in each one of your guys' life, right? What does it say there? What does it say there at the end, right? What's going to happen by us having hunger and righteousness? What does it say there? What does it say there? Right? Yes. You shall be filled, right? What is that? What does that mean? What does that mean to get filled up? Like, does that mean that you're gonna get filled up like when you go eat those 10 tacos as you share on the screen? Right? Is that what he's talking about? Like that type of feeling? No. What is he talking about here? Next slide. Right? That word filled, the Greek word is chortazo. What does that mean? It's this complete, this abundant satisfaction. Right? The satisfaction here is not temporal, it's not like for 1 hour. No, this is this eternal satisfaction. It's rooted in God's provision, right? And through all of this, Jesus wants us to continually seek him, right? And this leads us to our first truth about having a hunger for Jesus, and that is, number one, is that Jesus responds to spiritual hunger. Again, first lesson is that number one is that Jesus responds to spiritual hunger. Right? Jesus himself, he taught that he blesses those who earnestly seek his righteousness and are spiritually hungry for him. Right? How many of you guys want more of God's blessings in your life? Yes or yes? Right? All of us do. No brainer, right? And Jesus notices that. Jesus notices your heart, and he wants to reward those, right? With his presence, with his will, he wants to give you wisdom, a different type of discernment, a higher visions, you know, ministry goals. He has so much for you guys, but how are we responding to him? Do we have that thirst and hunger for his righteousness, right? Because when we come in with that type of hunger, right, Jesus meets us with deep spiritual fulfillment, right? And we have this deeper fellowship with him. It's no longer just about being in a religion and going through the motions, but it's about having an intimate, personal relationship with our Savior, Jesus, right? Because he is the bread of life. Right? When we come to him, we're never going to be hungry or thirsty. He's the only one that's going to satisfy our soul's deepest hunger. Right? Not the world, not movies, television, relationships. No, it's going to be Jesus. Jesus. Let's continue our study today, and we're going to look at the next verse. So if you can go to Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah 29:13. Give you a little bit of historical context of what is happening in this verse. So the prophet Jeremiah, he's writing here to an audience of Jewish exiles in Babylon. Right? These Jewish exiles, they were taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar, and because they were being disobedient to God, they were violating the covenant of God, so they're under now this rule of they're in exile under King Nebuchadnezzar. And Jeremiah, he's giving these exiles instructions on how to live during their exile. But because he's also, the word here is also, they're going to, they're going to be promised restoration after 70 years. So just again, wanted to give you just the kind of the author's intention here that Jeremiah is speaking to this audience. And where he's right, he's saying that, he says, you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. Again, you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. That word seek in Hebrew is darash, right? It's this idea of pursuing, you're inquiring, you're searching with intention, you're investing deeply. It's not just, okay, I'm going to look for Jesus. No, you're like, you're looking, you're like, where is he? Where is he? Where's Jesus? Where is he? Like, I gotta find him. Like, it's this different mindset, right? It's this ongoing active effort, and it's this longing in your heart that you want to have a deeper understanding. You want to have a deeper connection with our Lord, right? And when we find him, that word find in Hebrew is matzah, right? It's this discovery. It's an encounter. You're having an encounter. Attainment. You're looking again. You're looking for Jesus, right? Because God's presence and guidance, it's accessible to all of us, right? And the more that we diligently pursue Him, the more that He reveals Himself to us, and we get to experience more His love and discipline sometimes too. When we get off course, right? And when we do that. Right, as we're searching for him, the word there in Hebrew is chakar, right? It's this investigation, right? You're exploring. It involves this commitment, this focus on the pursuit of Jesus. We know that it's always about the heart, right? Where is our heart behind this pursuit? Right, that Hebrew word there is lebab, right? It's this total devotion. You're just like, Lord, I need you. Like, I'm so desperate without you, right? I'm coming to you. I don't have an undivided heart. You're the only one. There's nothing else. I'm not worried about my bills. I'm not worried about where my kids are going to go to school. I just want you, Lord. It's just you. I'm just coming in with this undivided heart to seek you. And that's what God wants. God wants this wholehearted devotion, right? Because when we come in with a divided heart or this superficial attempt to seek Him, and we're just like, ah, okay, just kind of going through the motions, that doesn't really yield much results. It doesn't really yield much spiritual fruit because He wants all our hearts. But when we seek Him with all our hearts, He will be found, right? More of His presence. We'll see more of His presence. And this leads us to our second truth about having a hunger for Jesus. And that is number two, is that God promises to be found by seekers. Again, lesson number two is that God promises to be found by seekers. All right, God is ready and willing to reveal Himself more and more to you. But you have to be eager. You have to want to draw near to Him. Right? And these Jewish exiles that Jeremiah spoke to, right? They were promised restoration. They were promised that they were gonna have this renewed relationship with God. And us as believers, right, we're reminded here that no matter how distant you think you've been because of your sin or your circumstances, God's presence is going to be accessible to all of us when we seek Him wholeheartedly. Amen? Let's continue our next verse here. And that is John 4:23. John 4:23. John 4:23. That's good. It says here, But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. Some historical context here is John 4 records Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. Do you guys remember that story? Really cool story, right? And at that time, the Samaritans worshipped at this Mount Gerizim. That's where they worshipped. And the Jews, well, they worshipped in Jerusalem, right? And the Jews, to them, they were like, well, this is our temple. Like, this is the only place. This is the only proper place that you can worship God. And what Jesus is doing here, he's trying to shift the focus. He's shifting the focus of worship from a physical location to worship in the Spirit and in truth. All right? Because the Jews, their worship was largely tied to the physical temple of the building. And Jesus here, he's saying, hey, I'm redefining worship here. Right? It's a new time. It's a new era. Right, that worship is going to be internal. It's going to be in our hearts, and it's going to be accessible to everyone, not just in a building. That Jesus is going to be there through His Holy Spirit at all places, at all times. And Jesus is telling this Samaritan woman that hey, I'm here. I'm coming here. I'm introducing this new era, and the new time is coming. So again, just want to so you can kind of understand what the context of what the author's intention here. And he's talking about looking for true worshipers, right? What does that mean? Like, it's being authentic, being genuine, right? As opposed to just having this ritualistic worship, right? Where you might be repeating the same prayers, or you know, you're about to eat dinner and it's just like, Lord, thank you for the food, amen. You know, it's just is that really genuine? Is that really authentic? Right? When we're talking about being true worshipers, right? It signifies this submission, right? That this total devotion for God, right? That true worshipers, that we're not just going merely just going through the motions. We're not just going following tradition or ceremony. That having authentic worship, right, it involves a personal, intimate connection with God, right? And it says that these true worshipers, right, they will worship, right? That word worship, I think I have it on the screen. Do I have it on the screen? Worship? No? Okay, there you go. Right? It's described as this act of bowing, right, of kneeling. You're in reverence to this awe of, like, Lord, I am not God in my life. I want less of me. I want, Father, I don't want Pete. You know, Pete, just no, I don't want that. Like, I want more of your image, Lord. It's like, are we coming in with this reverence, this true worship of, like, Lord, I just need you. I mean, when's the last time that you were on your knees and you're like, Lord, I just want to praise you, or Lord, thank you for correcting me and showing me this sin, Father God, so that I can repent and walk in a different direction. Like, when was the last time that your heart came in with that mindset of, I want to be a true worshiper, Lord. I don't want to just go through the motions. All right? I want to seek you. I want to seek you in spirit and truth, as it says there, right? This is that type of worship that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, right? It's a worship that through God's revelation, that through His Son Jesus and through Scripture, it's not based on us. It's not about us, guys. It's not about us, right? Too much, especially in this generation, we live too much in selfie mode. We think that it's about us, and no, it's about Jesus. About becoming more of His image and having that hunger and thirst and becoming true worshipers, right? So he's telling us here in the
He's telling us that, hey, true worship, it doesn't depend on a specific location or building, right? It can happen wherever you're at. Just make sure that you're seeking God authentically, wholeheartedly, with all your heart. And this leads us to the third truth about having a hunger for Jesus, and that is number three. That is that God is looking for genuine worship, both in spirit and truth. Again, God is looking for genuine worship, both in spirit and truth. This verse that we just went through, it really challenges us as believers, right? It forces us to ask those really hard questions. It's like, am I just going through the motions, or am I really engaged with God, right? Am I asking the Holy Spirit to lead my life daily, or am I just doing my own thing, right? Am I seeking truth through God's word, right? Because again, God is looking at our hearts when we come to worship Him, right? He wants us to come in true worship, right? Not through the motions, not with that mindset of like, I gotta go to church on Sunday. We don't gotta go to church. We get to come to church. It is a privilege that we're even here, saved by God's grace. For a lot of us, that's why it's like, are we coming in and with like this, Lord, I just want to serve you. I just want to see more of you, Father God. You know, I don't care if the Raiders win the Super Bowl or not. I just want you, Jesus. Right? Are we coming in with that heart?
Right. Let's finish off our study here today with this last passage. my throat's a little dry. Let me just drink something here really quick. Good. It's good.
Okay. All right.
How does this look? How does this look as an adult to be drinking milk from a bottle? It's pretty silly, right? Pretty weird. Like this is only for babies, right? We're going to take a look at a passage right here, and it's going to talk about drinking milk in relationship to our walk with God. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Again, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. It's up on the screen too. The author of Hebrews, or he's speaking to an audience of early Jewish Christians here, right? And these believers, they have had more than enough time to develop spiritually, but they weren't growing. They weren't growing as expected. Right, that's how it starts. Is like, hey guys, like, what's going on here? Like, right, like, by this time, you ought to be teachers. Right, he's saying like, guys, you've had enough time. You've gone through enough programs. You come to church all the time. Like, how come you're not growing? Like, what is going on? Like, some of you guys should have been teachers by now. Some of you guys should have been starting ministries by now, serving at your church. But what's going on? And this passage definitely applies to all of us, right? Maybe you've been coming to church for quite a while, right? But you haven't really grown much, right? For some of you, Sundays is probably the only time spiritually that you eat all week, right? For a lot of us,
for a lot of us, we don't even know how to pick up this book and feed ourselves, right? We come to church, and we expect, you know, who the teacher up here, Pastor P, whoever's up here, to just feed us, to be like, here you go, here you go. He's like, here you go, here's your Milky, here's your Baba, right? But again, isn't that weird? Like, again, for an adult to be drinking from milk from a baby bottle, like, that's just weird. That's just silly, right? It just doesn't make any sense, right? As you grow into adult, right, you start to learn how to feed yourself. Even if you're learning how to pick up the fork and you're dropping food all over the place, at least you're growing. You're learning, right? But some of you guys as adults still make a mess. I've seen how you guys eat during the fellowship time. That's okay. But we're coming in here, again, we're just coming in here, and we're just like, we just want to be fed. And it's like, oh, like, here you go, here's a little milky. And then we're like, if we come in with that mindset, then we're just like, why? We see ourselves just like complaining in life, right? Oh, man, I came to church, but you know what? I just didn't get fed enough today at church. Or oh man, you know what? That message didn't really speak to me. I didn't really enjoy the worship music. That's all we're doing is just wah, 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 wah. Give me my little baby milk. And verse 12 is like, it's saying, it's like, are you kidding me? He's like, guys, you should have been teachers by now, right? You've been coming to church for years. Right? Have you ever considered why things are the way things are in your life? Maybe because you just come to get fed your milky, right? Our marriages are falling apart because both the wife and the husband, right? Maybe they just want to just come and just get fed the milky. And I'm speaking for the men in here too, because especially as men, right? We're called to be the priesthood of the family. Right, we're called to disciple our family to grow in relationship with God. Right, we don't want to just continue giving our family a little milky. No, we want to give them actual food, actual meat. Right, little ribeye, some tacos. Right, we want them to get fed. We want them to get filled up with the Word of God. Right, and when we're not, what tends to happen? Right. You start seeing the husband and the wife, they just tend to drain each other. They suck the life out of each other, right? And we should, instead of like drawing near to God, right, this endless everlasting spring that just overflows, right? But no, like we're looking for happiness in our spouses, with our kids, right? But you have to understand that Jesus is the only one who's ultimately going to give us true joy in our life, right? He's the one that died for you, right? For all of us, right? He paid the ultimate price, right? He's the one who loves us unconditionally, right? Or maybe you're here and you've gotten so spiritually comfortable, right? You're in the rocking chair. Right, you enjoy just being in the rocking chair and just get the little baba and not wanting to grow, right? If we continue to come into church like that, we're gonna end up with a church that looks more like a baby nursery versus this church that is just vibrant. That you see transformations happen, you see people growing in spiritual maturity, right? I'm sure we all want that, right? And when we come to Jesus, right, we get filled up with Him, right? When we come to Him, we get filled up, right? We don't get dry, we don't get hangry. You guys know about that hangry when you're just, right? You don't get dry, right? When we come to Jesus, when we come to and His Word, we get fed solid food, right? What that means is you get a deeper teaching, you get a more mature understanding of spiritual truth. When we draw from Jesus, right? We're not gonna go to our spouses and our kids dry, right? No, we're going to be overflowing, right? Because nobody wants to be around that person that just, like, sucks the life out of you and your kids. Like, no, like, you want to be that person that's like a river is just overflowing. And the only way you can do that is by drawing near to Jesus, right? No one or nothing else will fulfill you, right? You don't want to be that dry lake in life, right? You want to be that overflowing river, because when you're drawing from Jesus again, it's this everlasting well. It's just constantly, constantly pouring out, right? And by doing this also, by drawing near to Jesus, right, you're also going to protect yourself and your family from spiritual warfare all around us, right? The enemy is here to tell you the same lie that he's been telling Adam and Eve to go eat that forbidden fruit, right? He keeps telling us, just go do your thing. Keep doing you. Stay on selfie mode, right? Don't worry about God's will and making disciples, baptizing people. Just do what makes you feel good. Stay drinking the milky, right? Right? Just all these lies, right? Don't let God tell you what's right for you. Right? These are all lies that the enemy tells us. But as Christians, right, as believers, we know better, right? John 10:10, what does that say there? We know about what the enemy is here to do, right? It says that the thief does not come except to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. It's one of those that we have to constantly remind ourselves, right? He wants you to keep thinking about yourself, right? And the Word of God tells us, no, deny yourselves, pick up your cross, follow who? Follow Jesus, right? God wants us to be more of his image, right? To never stop growing in the image of God. And this leads us to our fourth and final lesson about having a hunger for Jesus. And that is number four, is that we are to constantly grow in our Christian walk. Again, we are to constantly grow in our Christian walk. Jesus shared many, many truths with us, right? And one of those is that he never intended us to stay as infants, as babies with our faith, right? He has so much to show you guys. He has so many things that he wants to work through you in your mind, in your heart, and the visions that he's placed in your heart. But you have to ask yourself is, are you willing to allow God to continue doing his work through you, right? Are you willing to grow as a disciple, right? Would you be willing to go back to school? I want to share up a screen there, right? We have an amazing opportunity for you. It starts next month, right? No, September 9th. It's our School of Ministry. I have brought in some copies of the syllabus. So I have them. So at the end of the service, you want to grab a copy. It shows you the schedule and what we're going to be talking about. And we want to invite you to be part of it. We want you to come and experience just God and a deeper understanding, right? A deeper, getting fed at a just much, much deeper. Because ultimately, guys, we love you guys very much. And we believe in each and one of you. We know that God has put a calling on your life. Every one of us has spiritual gifts, right? So come and learn about how God has uniquely designed you, right, through those spiritual gifts, right? We're going to be learning. One of the biggest thing you're going to get here is you're going to learn how to break the Bible verse by verse, right? So you learn how to feed yourself. So again, you're not just coming in like, just feed me all day. No, like, you're learning how to feed yourself so that you can go, and especially as men, you can go feed your wife and your kids and disciple them, because that's where it starts. Discipleship starts at the home, right? That's the biggest thing you're going to learn is how to study the Word of God. But One of the requirements to join the school is actually we're looking for, and it's going to be it's kind of weird, but we're looking for fat people to join the school. So are you fat? Are you faithful? Right? Are you going to take that step of faith? I know it's hard. You got to move things around, schedule, maybe get off of work an hour early. It's always going to, when we follow Jesus, it's never going to be easy. Right? So are you faithful? Are you available? Right? God wants us to be available, or do you have so many other things that have taken priority over God's will? And the last one is teachable. Do you have a humble heart and say, you know what, even if I've been a Christian for 15, 20, whatever, or just a new Christian, you know what, I just want to learn. I want to be taught. I know that I have all these areas. Are you teachable? Again, we believe in you, and you can do this, but you have to take that step of faith. Right? So we'll be praying for you guys, and we hope that we hope to see you guys join us on this journey of this amazing spiritual transformation. So as we end here again, family, just to summarize today what we learned, we saw the 4 points. Again, number one is that Jesus responds to spiritual hunger, right? He's looking for those who have that desire to want to seek him, right? And number two, God promises that when we seek him with that whole heart, that he's going to show himself, he's going to reveal himself more to us. And number three is that God is looking for genuine worship, right? Both in spirit and in truth. And lastly, number four, again, is that we are constantly to grow in our Christian walk, right? These are four lessons that as believers who've already accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we can start to apply these today, right? But maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, right? You've never asked for Jesus to come into your heart, into your life. The Bible calls that being born again. Right? It's the most important question that you'll ever have to answer is that, are you born again? Because Jesus made it very clear when he was speaking to Nicodemus. He says, I tell you the truth, that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Right? And the Bible tells us that in order for us to be born again, if you've never done that for the very first time, that a person like you must do two things. Number one is you must repent. You must repent of your sin. Ask God, Lord, I am so sorry. I've fallen so short of your glory. I've just fallen so away from you, Lord. Please forgive me. All right? Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that genuinely? Right? And number two is have you put your faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone? Right? The Bible tells us that when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that we will have everlasting life, right? That we're not going to go to hell, that our eternal resting place is sealed in him. So if there's anybody who has never done that, and you'd like to do that for the very first time, we'll finish off here in prayer. And if you've never done that, you know, I just ask you to just make that commitment to the Lord. It's between you and him. It's not about who's around you, who's going to be looking. It's between you and him. And if you're watching online, and if you want to be born again, please leave us a comment. I want to be born again so we can reach back to you. So Lord, as we end here, as we bow our hearts and just our heads, Father God, just thank you so much for, thank you just for just waking us up, Lord. We just never know. We never know when that time might come that we might not even wake up. And we need to ask ourselves in our heart, would we be prepared to face you face to face? Would you know us Would you know us by name, or would you be like, who are you? Like, I don't even know who you are. You never hanged out with me. Like, it's a very scary, probably one of the scariest moments you'll ever have is to face Jesus and not be prepared. And I don't say that out of fear, because the gospel is good news, right? The gospel says that, again, when we put our faith in Jesus, that we have our hope in him, that we will have everlasting life. So, Lord, thank you so much for, again, speaking to us today. Lord, if there's just anybody here that also just needs to recommit, you've been tugging at their hearts. They've been feeling stagnant, and they know that they want to grow deeper with you, Father God. I just pray that they just make a recommitment to you, Lord. And for that opportunity that we have for the school, Heavenly Father, I just pray that for those who are going to take the step of faith, Father God, just watch over them, Lord, as the enemy will do everything possible to fill up their schedules with everything else but your presence, Lord. So I just pray that you just clear that person's schedule, make them available, make them teachable and faithful, Heavenly Father. So Lord, as we are just about to finish here, we'll continue to worship you. We'll continue to worship you and with music, and as we're just in awe of what you've done in our hearts, Heavenly Father. We'll have people up here praying for anybody here. So again, Lord, just watch over us and our families. Watch over the rest of the day. And we just pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.